week, 365 days a year.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years. Pierre LaFon, Wendy Foster offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines. Habitat for Humanity, building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter, and CSU Channel Islands. No matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And speaking of Habitat, we have a group of people, both volunteers and executives from Habitat today, to discuss not only what Habitat does as its core mission, but all of the great work it's done during the Montecito disasters. And our guests today are Rose Levy, program manager for Habitat, Liz Beebe, disaster relief coordinator, Marco Farrell, resident of Montecito who is a homeowner, and Hobie Smith, a volunteer for the effort that Habitat Humanity has put in, which has been wonderful in Montecito. Welcome, all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, you know, when I think of Habitat, I think of the mission of helping people who are homeless, and sort of in an ironic way, the surprise that for me, which shouldn't have been a surprise, that you were helping in this disaster is really consistent with your core mission. It is, it's hard to believe that there are people in Montecito that now call themselves homeless, but that in fact what you were doing. You were helping the homeless. So Rose, who thought of this to step in?
Well, you know, during the fires and especially after the debris flow, you know, we saw the need for the community that's been there for us for so long, and we really saw a place where our expertise, our skills, and our amazing volunteers could step in and make a difference in the community. So, you know, providing decent, adequate shelter is what we do, and this definitely lent itself to being able to help people achieve that goal again, you know, after the destruction that happened.
And Liz is now disaster relief coordinator, and I know you were saying before that this job was created because of this situation, and I hope it's temporary. Not because I don't want you to be out of work, but I hope at some point we don't need to continue to deal with disasters. But what has your activity been like as disaster relief coordinator?
Yes, so I got hired in mid to late February, and really because we had such a strong response in terms of our own preparedness to really address this situation. And so I do things like running work days. I work really closely with Hobie and the homeowners as well to really make sure that we can both, kind of our two objectives every day are, number one, that we can do anything and everything to get the homeowners in a better position going forward to really address this disaster, as well as that we can run safe work days for all of our volunteers.
And you talk now in the present tense, and you know, everyone saw all of the effort that you put in with a lot of other volunteers 6 mm-hmm. weeks ago, but the work is not over yet, is it?
Right. So we're still running work days every Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and Saturdays as well. And even this past week, we had between 20 and 30 volunteers out every day. So it's still a big effort.
So Hobie Smith is a volunteer and comes with an incredible pedigree. He was in probably the best job you could have for this kind of situation. You're an ex-Marine.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the best job, but that's the job I came from.
Actually, that's not true. You can never be an ex-Marine, can you?
No, you can't.
Yeah. So what motivated you to step up?
Well, primarily just people in need. And I think that's at the end of the day why the volunteers are coming out day in and day out to serve with Habitat or other organizations is people in need. Yeah. We get lunches every day from volunteers. I'm holding up a card that comes in the lunches from El Montecito Church. says thank you for your help in your community. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it's all about. There's a lot of really fine people, and what Habitat brings to this effort is a wonderful organizational architecture. They've got it down, and so they can reach out to homeowners, they can reach out to volunteers, reach out to donors, and it's really a very strong synergistic effort. It's not disparate parts just happen to come together by accident.
And Rose, of the volunteers, what would you say the percentage of volunteers for this effort were different or additional to the volunteers that helped build houses?
Yeah, I don't have an exact number, but they came out in the beginning in huge numbers of people who had never been involved with Habitat before. So we were really able to show a lot of new people what it is we do. And a lot of those people have continued to come back out, not only in Montecito, but come to our Sawyer Avenue affordable home site and build with us there, come volunteer in the Restore. So we really had hundreds and hundreds of new volunteers come out eager to help the community. So it's been an incredible response.
So one of the good things, one of the few good things about this catastrophe is that you may end up with more volunteers long term to build houses.
Yeah, hopefully.
So, Marco, you have the distinguished title of disaster impacted homeowner. And I'm sorry to have to say that, but can you talk about how your experience with Habitat has helped you deal with this?
Were it not for Habitat and its volunteers, I'd probably be curled up in a fetal position in bed all day long. It really has helped me and helped my family build strength within ourselves to see the strength of the community come together. And shovelful by shovelful, we're going to get through this. And that's really how all these volunteers have been able to chew through 3 feet of mud in our house, bring it outside, and then from there to the front of the house. And we ended up pulling 55 truckloads of mud from our property that was moved probably at least twice by up to over 50 volunteers per day.
What do you mean twice?
Meaning it was moved from the inside to an outside pile, and then from that pile to a bigger pile, and then from there to the truck.
And whose responsibility is it to pay for the removal by truck to wherever it goes?
The county stepped up and gave us 3 free truckloads, and these are the 11-yard trucks. They hold between 8 and 12 tons of dirt. But other than that, it was up to us to try to find a home for that new dirt. And you know, our first quote was almost $70,000, but with the help of
that $70,000, you'd have to pay.
Correct.
You weren't selling it for $70,000.
No. But no, they with the help of these incredible volunteers who have given their time, blood, sweat, and energy, we were able to move that dirt into huge piles in the driveway and then just pay for somebody to come with a skip loader, a big bulldozer, and load it into these trucks.
And are you going to be able to build again?
We're still waiting on the FEMA maps, the fabled FEMA maps. You know, it's month 1, 2, 3 months from now we'll be either given the green light or the red light. But I'm fairly confident with our location being closer to Coast Village Road, and the fact that a lot of the damage could have been mitigated by some sort of barrier 3 properties up would have kept a lot of that debris in the street. I think I feel confident in where we are. We also have a hill behind us, so if push came to shove, we could always terrace and build higher at a higher elevation.
Yeah, I think one of the scary things about the situation for homeowners that have been impacted is you can insure your house, you can't insure land. And I don't think anyone wants to take away someone's land, but that would really exacerbate this financial part of the catastrophe if there was situations in which you were not permitted to build.
Absolutely. And I think, I really do think that the engineers who are looking at these maps and looking at where the flows went are taking that into account and really doing their due diligence, which is why there is a delay in putting out this map.
Yeah, I think they're really trying to keep people safe and make sure they make good calls that are going to be good calls for a long, you know, a long time to come.
What was interesting to me is that when the first publicity came out, someone decided to copy the Boston Strong sign or, you know, where
tagline.
And Montecito Strong. And then someone realized a couple of weeks later that it became the word Montecito, as opposed to what it used to be, which is a classy place, became a pejorative word, and they changed it to 805 Strong. So it's you know, sort of like, you know, it doesn't take much to change the imagery. And, you know, one of the things that nothing we can do about it, or you can do about it from Habitat standpoint, is that as the houses come back, the retailers in this community are really hurting. I remember, I guess it was a week or two ago, going to Pierre Lafond, who happens to be one of our sponsors, and I was going to get a bunch of breakfast stuff. We had guests, and I was hoping I could get a spot in front because it was Saturday, and there were no cars in the parking lot. No cars. And I said, are they closed? And I walked in. I said to the cashier, what's going on? She said, you know, we don't have the weekend traffic. People from L.A. and Long Beach aren't coming up on to because they hear such bad things. So hopefully the word will get out that we're coming back. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Rose Levy, the program manager for Habitat for Humanity, Liz Beebe, disaster relief coordinator, Hobie Smith, a volunteer, and Mark O'Farrell, a disaster-impacted homeowner. And, you know, one of the things we're talking about, we were talking about it during the break, is that when you look at Montecito, I remember watching Ellen when she had, our supervisor?
Das Williams.
Das on, and I was saying, how are people going to have sympathy for Montecito? Because Montecito has sort of got this image, everyone's rich. And during the break, Hobie was saying that a lot of the volunteers come from places like Lompoc, and where else are you finding the volunteers?
Well, yesterday we were working at a home, and we had 6 volunteers from Lompoc. 2 weekends ago, we were working on a different home, and we had probably six or seven folks from an investment banking firm in Los Angeles. And the fact of the matter is that we've got volunteers from all, or Habitat has been able to reach out to volunteers all over the state. And in fact, the first day we were working at Marco Farrell's house, we had volunteers from Houston, Texas. And they were there, and I remember speaking to the gentleman for a long time. They were there because when Houston was hit, there were a lot of folks from Southern California, and he remembered that.
He was and with Rotary Club.
And he was with he was with the Rotary Club in Houston. And so there's this neighborly aspect that transcends just being a neighbor next door.
Another interesting point is I had our friend and contractor, Charlie Womack, passed away in the La Conchita slide a dozen or so years ago, and our family stepped up and did a fundraiser and helped raise money for his kids and helped them start their new journey to their new life. And one of the first people to contact me was my friend Matt, his former ex-brother-in-law. And his message was, you know, you were there for my mudslide, I'm here for yours. And I've been thinking about how profound that was. And then I've just lately realized how different their disaster experience was to mine because of Facebook, because of social media, and because I can snap my fingers and say I want a red pickup truck to move a box tomorrow and there'll be one in front of my house. It's absolutely a entirely different disaster experience.
And so has, Liz, has the fact that we have social media helped you to get people on board?
Yes, I think so. There's kind of a team of us working in the area of social media particularly, but we've had a number of volunteers who ask us to tag them, and then they will reshare or repost. And I've really recently seen an uptick in our volunteer numbers throughout the weeks, and I certainly attribute it in part to our social media presence.
Liz has been doing a fantastic job. She's out taking photos, working, shovel in hand, sunscreen on, taking photos, and making sure that everybody can see the amazing work that's going on and honoring the progress and the cleanup that's happening in the area.
Why does she need sunscreen? It hasn't been sunny for 2 weeks.
You have pale skin, has to be protected.
So do you...
And actually, on that note, I've got to say Rose showed up on our first day with a business attire and high heels and hobbling in the mud. But I have to say that she will not let something go. She really leads by example, and if there's a shovel emptied nearby, she's going to grab it and continue to do work while she leads.
So the work that's being done, these are not photo ops. If somebody volunteers, they're not there for 10 minutes to get their photo taken, get a free T-shirt. They're actually working.
6 hours.
No, it's I can attest that this 61-year-old body is definitely working a full day when you're out with Habitat. And that's one of the things that Habitat brings. It brings the organizational architecture. It brings the heart. But Habitat is not about having meetings and teleconferences. Habitat is there to do the work. And we've, as Marco's talked about and as mentioned previous discussions, we've moved hundreds and hundreds of tons of mud out of houses. And it's one shovel. And I would disagree. It's not every shovel full. It moves twice. I believe that every shovel full of mud gets moved a minimum of 3 times, a minimum, and sometimes 4 or 5. Yeah. And a lot of it is by hand. Mm-hmm. Now, the contractors are doing a terrific job. But at the end of the day, we were in a house yesterday in the middle of the house, and it's got to be done by hand, by shovel, with a wheelbarrow and a pick. And that's the way it's got to be done. Mm-hmm. In some places, you can get a piece of equipment in. Often not. And in the middle of the house, you simply can't.
So when you get to a house, if, for example, someone like me that is clueless, if I got to her house with a shovel, I wouldn't even know where to put the shovel. So if you're dealing with, let's say, 100 houses, do you have a supervisor in every house to organize and to say what you should be doing? Because most of these people, I would imagine, really aren't experienced.
Yes. So Hobie is one of our volunteers that we put into a crew lead position. So he actually helps to meet with Liz, find out what the objectives of the homeowner are, and then lead the volunteers, you know, make sure they have the proper equipment, proper safety. I mean, you guys can talk more about that. You're out there doing it.
Yeah, and I was hoping that we get to communicate that Hobie is a volunteer, but he's out 3-4 days a week as we're working, and certainly leads by example as well. And even I think it was yesterday we had two people working particularly hard in the area of pickaxing to really work at this mud, and Hobie was soaring past this 18-year-old that they were working side by side, and so he's putting in so much work and is certainly inspiring and cultivating this hardworking spirit among all of our volunteers.
It's funny you should mention Pixac. I was just telling people who did it last night the story, so it bears repeating. There was a worker who became a good friend of mine from my house about 10 years ago, and he was using a pickaxe and a place that he had to jump up on. And when he got finished, he said, "I'm going to jump down." He'd take the pickaxe, and he was just, you know. And he handed it to me, and I almost fell over. Forget about using it. You know how heavy these things are? So this is not for lighthearted people. Is there enough supervisors, though, to do this, to make sure that every crew is doing the right thing?
Yeah, we have lots of supervision. We can always use more. If somebody's out there and they think, hey, I can lead a crew of volunteers, get in touch with Habitat. We'll put you to work and see how you do leading by example.
On back to the pickaxe, you're not going to be handed a huge pickaxe if you can't handle it. They're going to find something within your skill range, and they'll push you your comfort zone, but they're not going to put you in risk of hurting yourself or anybody else. And so don't let the thought of heavy, heavy work scare you. We'll find something for you to do.
Mike? Comment was that I didn't know how heavy it was.
Right.
What's so big deal? I can see him doing it. It shouldn't be that hard. The number of people that you're getting, hopefully this will be over one day. And I guess the objective here is to get people to feel that this is something that they really find rewarding and to continue on with your Habitat projects.
Absolutely.
And the other part of that is donors.
Yes.
I would imagine people are now more willing to either give money or raise money because they see how broadly your reach is as opposed to, you know, what you do is fantastic, but building 1, 2, or 3 houses, this is different. You're saving 100 people's houses. Mm-hmm. So are you finding that fundraising has improved?
We are. I mean, there's always people willing to, you know, take that philanthropic approach in the community, and we're so grateful. And I think through this, we really just want donors to realize that every person in a stable house is somebody that is more secure for when something like this debris flow happens. So, you know, donation to Habitat really enforces that and, you know, make sure that we're able to get more people into housing that's going to withstand, you know, natural disasters.
And to give money to Habitat, they have a very robust website,
www.sbhabitat.org.
And you can donate right on that website.
You can.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar, or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management.
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank & Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank & Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank & Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, improving attitude, creating social harmony, and bridging the achievement gap for teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Rose Levy, Program Manager for Habitat for Humanity, Liz Beebe, Disaster Relief Coordinator for Habitat, Hobie Smith, a volunteer, and Marco Farrell, one of the unfortunate people who were was impacted as a homeowner in Montecito. And, you know, we think about Montecito as this rich enclave, but there are people who live there that weren't so rich. And there are people who live there who were employees that lost the place that they live. And so Montecito, despite the image, has really a cross-section of economic constituency. So yeah. You want to, is that something that, you know, we're being awakened to?
Hopefully. I think definitely, even for me, and I grew up here in Santa Barbara, that I've learned so much about, you know, Montecito and that part of our community. And there really is an entire cross-section of the economic spectrum. You have people who are on fixed incomes that have lived there, you know, for 50 years. You have people who were employees in households. You have people who put their entire life savings into buying a home that might not have a lot of, you know, resources to spare. So there really is a whole lot of people that with different backgrounds that need help in different ways. And it's part of what we're doing.
And speaking of different ways, it's not all brick and mortar. There are psychological issues here.
Correct.
Are you involved at all with the sort of the holistic issues that people who are victims are facing?
Yeah, so I would say one of the most encouraging things that I've seen is just the incredible spirit of collaboration that's really happened as a result. And so we have a new office at the Montecito Center off Coast Village Road. And so we've been able to partner with a number of those agencies to really ensure that the homeowners get the resources they need.
And the volunteers as well.
Yeah, and the volunteers as well. And I would say something that's been a real both joy but also just kind of heavy piece of this job has been kind of our roles on site, and I imagine that Hobie would say something similarly, is our goal is to remove mud, but throughout the day it also includes processing together what happened and how each of us is kind of restoring and moving forward and kind of talking with homeowners about any ways that we can be helpful, both in terms of digging mud, but also like encouragement or other ways that we can be supporting or connecting them to resources by way of the relationships that we're building with other agencies.
Sometimes people need to just know they're not alone and that there's people there with them.
And your point before is, which was two words, but it's very important, the people who do the volunteering probably need some help too.
Yeah,
when you work in a disaster or even if it's not your home, you're confronted with, I know, I drive by every day, I see the same sights and it still makes my stomach turn to see what I missed.
And to that point, someone that gets that secondary trauma that doesn't get it addressed, I almost feel like I'm blessed to be able to be here and bash my knuckles and move that mud because it's helping me break down my trauma and build a foundation of strength from it. So it's important for people to seek, you know, help, and it's not a position of weakness. It's actually a position of strength, is to seek that help out and get and address it. And there are incredible free resources. There are a lot of incredible free resources of some very, very caring, non-judgmental people who will help you through this.
So Marco, you are also a realtor, and in a way, you had a double impact because your house was destroyed, and your business is probably a little shaky.
It is and it isn't. We had a condo down in Montecito Shores, down on the beach, that we couldn't. It was crickets chirping for a year. We had three offers within one weekend, unannounced between. So another way to look at it is, you've got 300 to 400 homes that have been very heavily impacted or destroyed, and those people need to live somewhere.
And if you look at the numbers, they say there's 9,000 residents, so there can't be more than 4,000 homes, which means that's about 10% or more of the housing stock in one community. You would think it would result in an improvement in prices, but is that the outlook? That you're a Coldwell banker?
I'm a Coldwell banker, and we're just starting to get the initial numbers. After the Santa Rosa fires, their market went up 8%. The Mesa's hot. Hope Ranch is just on fire. Well, that's not a great term to use, but it is really, really hot. The real estate market out there is hot, because even if your home wasn't impacted, you may have that discretionary income where you say, I don't want to see trucks all day. I'm going to move my family across town to a safe zone and not have to worry about evacuating.
I don't want
to
hear any more of this. I live in Montecito. Oh. So tell me about Montecito, though. Is that going to come back?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to see little areas that are going to be affected a lot more than others. But on the whole, as soon as people start to hear back from their insurance companies, they can start making decisions on whether they want to stay or leave. You know, opportunity is going to be there, whether it's for rebuilding or to sell and move on and allow somebody else to have that opportunity to come in and rebuild. So I think we will rebound.
Okay, I'm glad, because I really don't want to go back to New York, because it took me so long to lose my New York accent that I just don't want to start all over again. You're not doing this all on your own. You have partners, don't you?
We do. We have so many community partners. And one thing I want to say is Habitat is part of a coalition of nonprofit, private, government, faith-based organizations that have come together to create a safety net and a guiding force for the recovery that's happening. And that's called the Community Long-Term Recovery Group. And they meet every other week. They have a steering committee that's comprised of places like the Long-Term Recovery Group is United Way. It's Calvary Chapel, where Hobie comes to us from. It's Red Cross and Direct Relief and organizations like that are coming together. So we have had a ton of community partners. Our protective gear that volunteers wear comes to us from Direct Relief and from Red Cross. Lunches come from churches. And a lot of the emotional wellness that we were just talking about, groups like California Hope 805 and the Institute for Congregational Trauma and Growth. So there's places like that that are really stepping up.
For anyone who is one of these organizations that's listening to Rose, she did that with no notes. So obviously she really knows who you are. But I have one that I'm curious about. What's Women Build?
Women Build. That is a Habitat International initiative that focuses on creating work days on job sites across the country to empower women to come out, pick up a hammer, pick up a screwdriver, get on scaffolding, and build a house together. And men are encouraged to come out too, but it's definitely focused towards women to give them the courage it takes to maybe do something new for them.
And the Bucket Brigade, that's a group that you've been working with as well.
Yeah, they're out in town doing a lot of the digging. They've been digging out homes, trees, helping so many homeowners, just really working together as a community to make sure that everybody can find the help, that volunteers have a place to go, and that homeowners can get the services they need. They've done such amazing work.
And if they have been funding from federal or state sources that have helped?
I'm sure not specifically to us, I don't think, but probably. And I know the county and the city and the state.
No,
and
I meant
FEMA.
For you.
For us, yeah. I don't believe so. Okay. There is a lot of funding out in a lot of different capacities. But no, I don't think we've had any government funding for a disaster.
I think a lot of money has been raised by various concerts and events. Mm-hmm. And I think they're starting to make their decisions on where to have it trickle down.
Yeah.
And we're also seeing umbrella organizations that are taking money and then distributing it to their partners.
I will say the bulk of our disaster fundraising we've done has come from individual donors as well as family foundations. So it's the listeners out there that have been supporting the recovery and the cleanup.
And one of the things that you have is called your Restore, R-E-Store, which I have been able to donate stuff to, because my wife keeps on redoing our house. And you've really got some great stuff there. And I wonder, and seriously, it's a great place to shop because people in this town, even way before the disasters, you know, would say, well, my house is now 2 years old. It's time to redo it. So a lot of the stuff there is basically brand new.
Yeah.
So how has that been? Has that been a source of assets to the disaster people? I mean, are you donating stuff from there?
We so anybody affected by the disaster gets 50% off at the Restore. So if you need things, if you've had anything damaged, come and shop. But yeah, we're hoping that that helps people come in. But I will say, keep donating items to the Restore. We've seen a little bit of a decline in the amount of furniture and building material we've seen donated into us, because a lot of the people who often did that maybe were from Montecito, and those items aren't coming in. So continue to donate, and obviously, yes, come and shop, and people affected in the area get 50% off for things they need to replace.
Yeah, it's really worth looking at if you're looking to buy something. And even if you're not looking to buy something, it's a worthy cause to get an extra refrigerator so that you can support this great effort. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafon's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafon and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers, in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Rose Levy, the program manager for Habitat for Humanity, Liz Beebe, disaster relief coordinator, Hobie Smith, a volunteer par excellence, and Mark O'Farrell, a real estate broker and a homeowner impacted by the disaster. And I should point out, I keep mentioning AHA. This is AHA Presents About Education. And AHA is having an event in a week or two for the exact same, you know, they're out there. They were on Key News 2 days ago, you know, doing some volunteer work as well. So hats off to AHA. Are there hazards involved with this? I mean, people were, you know, do you have to wear white suits with a helmet? I mean, what is the, is there any risk for people other than getting a bad back from this kind of work?
So on that note, we do teach proper wheelbarrow technique as well as shoveling, so often led by Hobie. But we have been told by the county that the mud has been deemed safe for our volunteers. We do have all the protective gear that you need. So that's gloves, masks, and eye protection. We have coveralls in the truck if someone doesn't want to get dirty. But we really do well in terms of training of how to really prepare the volunteers to go into the scene that they're working in, as well as we really ensure that they're only working in ways that they feel comfortable and confident to do and to do well, and really ensure that there's enough safety.
But is there, you know, when you touch all that dirt, is there stuff still in it that could be toxic?
So I've been there virtually daily since 4 in the morning on the 9th of January. I've had cuts on my fingers and hands that haven't had any infection or anything. And speaking to the contractor next door to me, he's got a crew of 60 guys that have been there for that amount of time and hasn't had one single event of compromised immune or any infection due to this mud.
And we and Habitat does a good job of making sure that the volunteers come prepared and they have the accessories to mitigate all that stuff. So all the volunteers have long sleeve shirts, closed toe shoes. We offer masks if we're inside and the mud is or the dirt is dry. We teach them how to, you know, lift a wheelbarrow. I know that sounds a little bit like you're insulting their intelligence, but it's important. But we offer gloves, and particularly Habitat brings in a wash station. So before meals, they wash their hands, and so we take extra measures. Habitat takes extra measures to ensure that it's a safe environment. And we don't go near any structure that looks like it's in the least bit compromised.
And I do think one of the safety things, there is a lot of mold, especially if you're still digging inside of homes. So masks definitely to make sure you don't have that mold exposure. I think that's one of the main things that is of concern out there right now.
Now, corporations have also helped. And you mentioned during the break that some of the corporations in town, Deckers and Sonos and others, have been permitting workers to come to volunteer and get credit and not lose pay at work.
Yeah,
they've it has been a team effort. You have churches donating lunches. You have my church offered space for the assistance center. And then you have corporations giving the employees the opportunity to surge for a day, Procore, Sonus, Deckers,
Yardie.
And others, Yardie. It's been terrific, and they work like bees. They don't come down to I'm getting a day off of work, and now I don't have to. No, they come down and they work really, really hard.
And some of the corporate benefits have been supplies as well.
Yes.
You've gotten tarps and other stuff from
Home Depot gave us a grant that we were able to use for materials. We got materials from, I believe, the Santa Barbara Home Improvement Center. So there's been a lot of kind of in-kind and corporate gifts in order to get the supplies and materials.
Home
direct
relief.
We had a guest on a few weeks ago who owns the Montecito Deli, he said that he was up at 4 in the morning also, and you probably all heard his story. And he went to Smart and Final and Trader Joe's and got them to volunteer food and was providing free food for basically everybody.
Yeah, and he's continuing to this day. If you're a first responder or a second responder, they're only taking donations there. So it's a big shout-out to the Montecito Wine and Cheese Shop because he's really following in his father's footsteps. He's a wonderful legacy to John, who started that shop and ran that shop and helped. During the fires, he opened up his shop to the firemen and to the first responders. So it's been really neat to see Patrick rise up and fill some big shoes that his father left.
And what about kids, high school kids? Not just to improve their college essays, but are you getting college kids to want to make a difference?
So we allow you to come out and work with us if you're 16 and over. And we still have a minor form, but we're getting huge groups of everything from UCSB and Westmont students, City College students, to local high schoolers. We just had spring break last week, so we got a number of people, some driving all the way from Arroyo Grande, to spend 3 nights in a hotel in Montecito and to give their work for the whole days.
We had, it was just last week, we had, was it 14 or 15 from Cal Berkeley, came down and spent the whole week down here.
How did they hear about this? How do they know to come?
I think they work with. I think this particular group worked with Habitat up in the Bay Area.
Yeah, the Berkeley students, they're part of a Habitat club at the Berkeley campus. So they decided to spend their spring break and just they contacted a couple Habitats and chose us. So they came for the week. I got to stay at El Montecito Church. Thank you to the Montecito YMCA for letting them use the shower facilities there. And they worked for, I think it was 5 days straight with us.
And one of them turned to me when we finished up on Saturday. Turned to me and said, I've never worked so hard in my life, but it was wonderful.
That's the best.
Well, that's an interesting part of having an international organization. There are different community habitats, I guess, that can feed people in because we need it more now maybe than they do.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one of the benefits of having an umbrella organization?
Yeah, it's great in order to get the word out, to let people know what's going on and to get some support, you know, talk to people who maybe have gone through something similar and kind of get a best practices from them to have a little guidance.
So basically what you're saying is we don't need the Red Cross anymore, that Habitat is going to come in. Is that what you're trying to say?
Not at all. Those organizations are wonderful.
By the way, just in terms of keeping everything honest so I can go home tonight, I was joking about my wife making me do work. It was me that wanted to do a new kitchen, and it's beautiful. So it's not my wife, it's me. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and believe it or not, we'll be right back with our final segment.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and I'm here today with Rose Levy, Program Manager for Habitat for Humanity, Liz Beebe, Disaster Relief Coordinator, Hobie Smith, a volunteer, and Mark O'Farrell, a disaster-impacted homeowner and a real estate broker. So,
a realtor, not a broker.
you were promoted because of this radio show.
Yeah. Thank you.
it's one of the benefits of being on the show.
Okay,
you're now a broker. The effort that you put in really, you know, deserves the accolades you're getting. So, how can we help? So you have various events during the year, and one of the most interesting events you're having two events coming up, right?
Yes, we have two events coming up. One of them is Habitat on Ice. We want to thank all the people who have come out and volunteered in Montecito. Maybe you volunteered right at the beginning, maybe you're volunteering this week, but on April 15th at the ice rink in Goleta, Ice in Paradise, from 4:45 to 6:15, it's the ice is free, the skates are free, and you can come out and skate around the ice with Habitat and get to know some other volunteers and learn about Habitat for Humanity. So if you've volunteered with us, please come out. We want to thank you. And then the other event is our annual, or I guess it's biannual, or every other year right now, Hammer and Ales music festival that we do. And that is at M Special Brewery in Goleta, which is also where our ReStore is located. And we close off the parking lot for a day. We bring in a stage and bands. We have lots of beer and food trucks. This year, our headliner is Ozo Motley. Tickets are on sale. I think the event runs from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you can buy tickets at our website, sbhabitat.org.
So what do you need? What does Habitat need? Do you need money, volunteers, stuff? What is it that you are looking that
all
would
of the
be
above.
Helpful? Do you still need more volunteers?
We always need volunteers. We have... we have our new home build. We do home repairs, which we haven't even talked about. We help homeowners who are low income repair their home. We have our ReStore, which takes volunteers to run. We have volunteers work in our office. We have volunteers work in Montecito. We always need volunteers. We have volunteers that serve on committees and work with our youth programs. So that's always a need. Financial contributions, nonprofits couldn't function without those. Those are always needed. Even small monthly gifts are so appreciated and so vital to a nonprofit. We need people to come to our events, buy tickets to Hammer and Ales, donate your furniture and appliances to the ReStore. All of those are what we need.
And it's ironic, with only 2 minutes left, we haven't even talked about your new housing that you're building.
Yes.
And that you have the Sawyer Avenue house.
We do. That is three homes on Sawyer Avenue in Carpinteria. We are about to finish framing. So walls are up, and we are going to be finishing those in the early fall, so those families can start the new school year in Carpinteria. And there's a lot of volunteering to do there. Hanging drywall, painting, roofing, you name it, we've got to do it on those homes to get them finished.
And you teach people how to do that?
We do. We have a construction manager out there who runs crews and teaches everybody, and we have crew leaders out there making sure people have the right tools for the right job, doing things appropriately.
And one of the things that I don't know if everyone is aware, that people who are able to buy these homes actually have to put sweat equity into them.
Yeah.
And you're not just given a home. You have to, I don't know, several hundreds of hours.
250 hours per person buying the home, per adult. And they also do homeownership readiness courses. So they take a 18-month course that teaches them everything from what it means to take title and the process of doing that to insurance, home maintenance. We teach them everything to be successful, how to run their HOAs that they're going to have when they move into their homes as well. So they go through that course.
And how many employees do you have now?
We have, I haven't counted, 8, I believe.
And how many volunteers?
Thousands.
Okay, so that's my point. The point is that in terms of giving money to this organization is incredible leverage. There are, you know, less than a dozen employees that you are essentially paying for, but because of these terrific people like we have here today, you're able to leverage that dollar and get the benefit of really hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's really been terrific talking to you. You guys have been, just wonderful, and I hope that you have gotten at least the psychic benefit of what you've given to people in your sweat equity, sweat efforts. Thank you so much, Rose, for running this part of the operation. For Liz, you know, I hope that this will be a job that you will move out into something less dramatic. Hobie, I hope you stay in the community, Marco, for selfish reasons, I hope that you make a fortune as a real estate broker because there are so many sales going on here. You've been listening to AHA Presents About Education. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week. It's